Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, Inventing America will be screened May 18 on Hope College's campus. We get a preview. This week at the Grand Rapids Public Museum, England's Mark Craig will be talking about Apollo 1. April is Parkinson's Awareness Month, we discuss. The Grand Explorers Trail Race happens June 20. We talk about that. And Together We Move and Phoenix Training partner for the foundation designed to give middle and high school girls the tools to thrive.
We start strong. You've seen it, we hope, on WGVU-TV. If not, here is your time. Inventing America will be screened May 18th. It's on Hope's campus. We'll give you all the details. We'll call you producer, director, all about writing it, and probably more. Milton Newsma in the house. Milt, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Shelley.
For you. My friend, my colleague, WGVU Director of Content and more, Phil Lane, your labor of love along with this Inventing America and other documentaries. Good morning to you, Phil.
Excited to be here. Excited to talk about it, Shelley.
Yes, there will be a panel discussion. Again, the showing of Inventing America with the screening at the Jack Miller Center for Musical Arts. Take me back to Inventing America 101, Milt.
Well, the show first aired in 2010. So we're talking, 2014. 2014. Okay, we're talking 12 years ago.
Yeah.
It was inspired by Steve Allen's Meeting of Minds series that aired back in the late 70s, early 80s, where he would gather historical figures from around the world, different periods of history, put them around the table, and engage them in conversation. I remember, for example, in one episode, he had Teddy Roosevelt sit across the table from Thomas Paine. And Teddy Roosevelt called Thomas Paine a filthy little atheist. He actually did say that, but on the show he was able to say that to him face to face. They never lived at the same time. They were, you know, they lived in two different centuries. But that was the idea of the show. Charles Darwin, you know, trying to explain his theory of evolution to Attila the Hun. You can imagine how that went down. It was very creative, and I think up to that time, one of the most brilliant things I saw on PBS.
Yes.
So that's what gave genesis to the idea, and it was actually Chuck Furman, the former, one of the founders of WGVU, who came up with the idea of telling the story of the American Republic that way.
And how timely for this America 250 celebration now we bring Inventing
right.
America. Talk about WGVU's involvement, Phil.
Yeah, so we have a great relationship with Milton. He pitched the idea, or actually Chuck Furman pitched the idea. And yeah, if you basically had the ability to bring our founding fathers back, so Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, Alexander Hamilton, and you brought them here in front of a modern day audience, which we did on the campus of Hope College, and we got to hear about them when they were going through the Declaration of Independence and the forming the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And then the audience also got a chance to, well, if you were alive today, and what would you think about what was going on, or how would you handle this situation? So it's a great way to learn about the past and basically, as best we can, hear from the people and the actors who portrayed. Some of them, it's their full-time career at Colonial Williamsburg. I mean, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, you thought you were talking to Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin, and you really get transformed into the moment of you're hearing directly from our founding fathers. And so it's a great experience. WGVU made 3 episodes of it. It aired all across the nation, of course, here locally. And so it really was a wonderful project.
The idea of bringing the founders back is to see how they would react to our country today. You know, they've been gone for 200 years, we're resurrecting them like Lazarus. Well, guys, what do you think?
Yeah.
Aren't you amazed that our republic is still alive? Which is really something when you consider that John Adams, at the Continental Congress, said there has never yet been a democracy that did not commit suicide. George Washington, at the end of the Constitutional Convention, which he presided over, predicted the new republic wouldn't last 20 years. So here we are, 250 years later.
A lot of candles.
In spite of the threats, recent threats on our democracy, we're still going. And it's really an amazing story of human history.
And we get to witness it again through your talents. Monday, May 18th, 7 p.m. Tell me more here, Milt. What happens?
Well, we're going to show highlights of the three episodes, which will air on PBS
as celebration of America's 250, all three of the episodes will air in full on June 28th, July 5th, and July 12th at 2:30. Those are Sundays at the end of June and July. And if you come on May 18th, you're going to get a taste of all three episodes, and you're going to get to talk to a group who you're not going to get to talk to our founding fathers, but you're going to get to talk to historians who can philosophize of what our founders would think of today and ask questions of them.
Yes. Right. Review a few of the panelists.
One of them is Dr. Jean Petit, professor of history at Hope College. Jeff Paulette, professor emeritus of political science at Hope. He now directs the Ford Leadership Forum at the Gerald R. Ford Presidential Foundation. Dr. David Ryden, professor of political science at Hope. And Dr. Richard Hiskus, professor emeritus of political science and human rights at the University of Connecticut. He happens to be a neighbor, which is why I roped him into this.
Yeah, those neighbor things. Is a good neighbor, hopefully. Again, talking all things Inventing America, the screening and panel discussion on the evening of May 18th. Milton Newsma with us along with WGVU's Phil Lane. Who do you want in your audience, Milton?
Well, the core audience will be the HASP membership. That's the Hope Academy of Senior Professionals. But the program will be free and open to the public. I expect a lot of students will be there. But the general public is invited. I have a number that people can call to reserve. And I'll repeat this a few times. So, listeners, get out your pen. Jot this down, 616-395-7919. And let me repeat that, 616-395-7919. That's the number of the HASP office.
Yes, and that's Hope Academy of Senior Professionals. Phil?
Yeah, if you're a history lover, if you love history and you want to see pieces of the programs that air nationally on done here locally, aired nationally across PBS, I highly recommend it. You will not be disappointed, and you'll get to hear an engaging conversation as well. So if you love history, this is an event for you.
Even if you don't love history, you will by the end of the program.
Oh, especially this year. Please love history. Right. There we are. It's an opportunity. Tell me about your book.
Oh, Miracle on Chestnut Street. Yeah, a new edition came out, a young adult edition, in connection with the 250th birthday. Subtitle is The Untold Story of Thomas Jefferson and the Declaration of Independence. It covers the 14 months of his life leading up to the Declaration, the events the struggle he went through because of the illness of his wife. He lost a daughter who was ill while he was at the during the Continental Congress. So it's a story of duty over desire, I suppose, the conflict. He wanted to stay home and tend to his wife and daughter, but duty called him to Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And the rest is history.
There we are. Your final word, Phil Lane, on behalf of WGVU and the partnership with Inventing America, please.
Inventing America, this gentleman next to me is a fantastic writer, great historian, and it's been a pleasure working with him and the public. As Milt said, you don't have to love history. I felt like I got to know Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, learn a little bit, but fully be entertained as well. So I highly recommend anyone who can come May 18th.
Your details one more time, Milt Newsma.
Yes, the number to call, 616-395-7919. That's for the screening of Inventing America with a panel discussion to follow, and we'll have an audience Q&A as well. Monday, May 18, 7 p.m. at the Jack Miller Music Auditorium in Holland.
Keeping history alive, especially this 250th year. Milton, Phil, thank you.
Thank you, Shelley.
Keeping, well, space close to us. We're all still coming down off of the recent wonderful Artemis trip, but let's take a half a step back. Apollo 1, do you remember? You will if you listen to the work by my next guest and watch and attend an opportunity today. Grand Rapids Public Museum does partner with the Grand Rapids Amateur Astronomical Association for many things and, of course, bringing in you, Mark Craig, from England, producer of a well-received documentary about Apollo 1. Wow. Mark Craig, good morning to you.
Morning to you, and great to be here.
We got the king in Washington. We've got you here.
Yeah, we won't talk about him today. I'm very lucky to be here because I was flying through Chicago yesterday, and we had a rough old time getting through with all the cancellations and delays. But anyway, I'm good to be here.
Good. I'm glad you are here, and you are quite involved today, and for an important day tomorrow for students. Tell me about Mark Craig.
Mark Craig was born in Singapore son of an art teacher. And so I guess it was always assumed that I would go to, art college, follow some kind of a creative career. But really, I was quite an aimless student. I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my kind of creative energies. Ended up being a motion graphic designer working in TV, which I was quite happily doing at the BBC, Channel 4 in the UK. And it was only after a dozen years of that I started to convince myself, rather foolishly actually, to see if I could make documentary films. And somehow I've been doing that for the last 30 years now.
You know your talents and you went for it. And here you are, Apollo 1, a feature documentary to be presented, described as a new and comprehensive account of the circumstances, obviously with Grand Rapids ties, that does lead up to this tragic spacecraft. Why your interest in this?
Well, I guess, I'm just about old enough to remember it. I was a kid back in the 60s. I certainly remember the moon landings, never dreaming that I would one day meet a lot of those guys and their families and their wives. 12 years ago, I directed and produced, co-produced a film called The Last Man on the Moon about the astronaut Gene Cernan. And that got quite a bit of publicity. But it was during the process of making that film that I met and interviewed Martha Chaffee. And she left such an impression on me and the cameraman I was working with, telling her part of the, Apollo 1 story, which we could only fit a small part of in the Gene Cernan film. But we stayed in contact, and I began to reach out to her and say, listen, has there ever been a film about Apollo 1 involving all the family members, like a proper official one? And she said no, and it took 5 years to do it, but we eventually got there, and here I am today.
For one who may not have been a kid in the 60s, not a bad time to be a kid, I'll join you there.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about Apollo 1.
Well, basically, obviously, it was without wanting to do any plot spoilers for the film, but I figured that most people in this town would be aware of the story through, of course, Roger Chaffee. But I think when I began to research the story, I began to realize just how incredibly pivotal event it was in the history of human spaceflight. I mean, it really was a game changer. You know, a lot of changes had to be made after that. And I think every space mission that has ever flown since then owes a huge debt to the sacrifice of those three men. So I wanted to very much make that point and not do an overly forensic examination of the tragedy and all the errors and things like that, because that's kind of been done and written down and is public domain history. But I wanted to learn more about what the guys did in their lives, not in the terrible manner in which they died. And so really the film is a very personal account of those three families and what they did, and hopefully, you know, a warm film. Yeah,
yes.
I think so.
Yep. Gus Grissom, Ed White, and of course Grand Rapids native Roger Chaffee, again, who came together as pioneers here, and yes, with the whole opportunity to keep Roger Chaffee alive through the good works of course, the Grand Rapids Public Museum and more. What else? Tonight at 7, we see... Do we see your whole documentary?
The whole film is being shown. The doors open at 6:15. The screening starts at 7. I'll be doing a short introduction, but mainly a Q&A after the film, because people always have questions about the story or the people involved. And there's a few surprises. You know, there's a few things that I learned along the way that we put in the film. And don't be surprised if there's I know it's surprising, but you know, there are moments in the film that are actually quite amusing when the families talk about their experiences.
Yes. What let's zone in on again, not giving too much away, but what did you learn more about our Grand Rapids native Roger Chaffee?
That he was really one of the smartest astronauts that was ever selected. I mean, he was such a promising candidate. He was hugely ambitious. He was smart enough to figure out that, you know what, if I really study geology, they're going to need geologists on the moon one day. And so while a lot of those astronauts were kind of, you know, throttle jockeys, if you like, they were fighter pilots and they wanted to fly interesting machinery, spacecraft and all that. Roger was thinking beyond that, and he thought, okay, well, what are we going to do when we get to the moon? We've got to do some proper science here. And he figured that if he really specialized in geology, he would certainly be a candidate for a lunar trip.
Again, you'll be speaking to your audience tonight, but also it's a closed opportunity, but the Chaffee Scholarship Awards dinner will be tomorrow. How cool will that be for you to speak to those on behalf of that?
Very cool. I'm incredibly honored to be invited. I mean, the wonderful thing about making a film or I don't know, I guess writing a book or making a record is that you start to just meet some really interesting people and you end up going to places that you never planned on going. Mm. I mean, here I am having a lovely chat with you, and that wasn't part of my game plan when I set out to make the film. And that's a really heartwarming, you know, part of it. And of course, all the audience members are engaged with those people they see on the screen. So I'm very much here to talk about, not myself as much, but about the film, about those people that they see on the screen and those three amazing men.
Yes. Did you follow Artemis II?
Oh, absolutely. Man, I you know, it was at a pretty antisocial time in the UK for me, the launch, but I'm hugely wrapped up in all that. I have attended a couple of events where the Artemis crew have spoken, so I've seen them but not met them. And of course, I'm very aware that one of those crew members, Christina, was born here in Grand Rapids.
Yeah, kind of cool. All right, Mark Craig, thank you, producer of this well-received documentary, which we witnessed tonight, Apollo 1, a feature documentary on behalf of the Grand Rapids Public Museum. As you mentioned, 6:15, doors open, and 7 o'clock. Find out more, of course, grpm.org. How do we find out more about you and your good work?
Oh, if you Google, well, I don't know if people are on Facebook, but if the Apollo 1 film will tell you everything about the film. I've got my own Facebook page, Mark Craig. Stopwatch is my company. And basically, yeah, Google me, Google my name and documentary, and you'll find all kinds of stuff.
Going to get a run in while you're here?
Absolutely, right after the show, in fact.
Okay, you can beat me to the punch. Take care, Mark Craig. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Parkinson's Awareness Month. Let's talk about signs. Well, we may miss and a story of living with Parkinson's. I only get the best. Parkinson's Foundation President and CEO, John Lair. John, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Robert, we'll call you Bob Beatty. You've been living with Parkinson's since 2012, now using your voice to help others feel less alone. Good morning to you, Bob.
Good morning to you as well, Shelley.
Appreciate you. More than 90,000 Americans diagnosed annually, so there is a reason that we speak about this topic. If you would please start, John Lair, with the definition of Parkinson's disease and probably get right into the early signs.
Sure, yeah. So Parkinson's is described as a progressive neurological disorder that affects how the brain controls movement. As you mentioned, there are 1 million Americans living with Parkinson's and 90,000 individuals who are diagnosed each year. There's no single test to diagnose Parkinson's, so clinicians need to diagnose it based on symptoms, and those can vary from person to person. So some people experience tremors, you know, the shaking of a hand, while others notice stiffness, slower movement, or balance issues. There are also a whole series of non-motor symptoms like sleep problems, mood changes, or cognitive challenges. And as I mentioned, because there's no single test, recognizing the early symptoms and signs like small handwriting, loss of smell, or trouble moving can help people seek medical advice and treatment sooner. And the good news is that if they have the right care team, lifestyle choices, and a good treatment plan, many people can live with Parkinson's and maintain a very good quality of life.
Would you share a bit of your story, Bob?
Absolutely. I was diagnosed in 2012. As John said, my symptoms were actually very minor, really non-motor related. And so as a result, it was because of my own keen awareness of my own body that I was able to pick up on some things. I experienced micrographia, which is a smaller handwriting. I also experienced loss of sense of smell, which is common. And I had some left leg weakness while I was working out. And all of those things led me to begin looking into what was going wrong. And I was about 2.5 years later that I was diagnosed.
Tell me, if you would, back to you, John, why is understanding the diagnosis key to care routine?
Yeah, so, you know, I think understanding the diagnosis is critical because it can get you on a pathway to good treatment options, which are a combination of medication, exercise, sleeping, you know, getting the best night's sleep, which is often a challenge for people with Parkinson's, and really having the best diet possible. So the earlier people are diagnosed, the faster that they get onto these lifestyle changes and the better the outcome for their disease is going to be.
And staying with you, John, the Parkinson's Foundation does have the answers, the resources, a free helpline, and more?
Absolutely. So we have we pride ourselves on being the trusted and go-to source for all things Parkinson's, and we have an outstanding website, parkinson.org. That's parkinson.org. But if you want to talk to somebody live, we have a team of specialists who man our helpline, and they're available during business hours in the United States and in both English and in Spanish. And if you want to call that number, it's 800-4-PD-INFO. That's 800-4-PD-INFO.
Yes. And Bob, how has the foundation either assisted you or just talking about Parkinson's Awareness Month, how does that stand for you and how should it stand for others?
Well, Parkinson's Foundation is fantastic for helping people find the resources that will help them. My biggest pieces of advice are to remember when you receive a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease, you're not the only one who receives it. Your family and friends and those that love you receive it as well. Let them support you. Stay anchored in your faith and engaged in the Parkinson's community through the Parkinson's Foundation. They offer volunteer opportunities for fundraising, research, as well as opportunities to connect with people like myself who understand what you're going through. And for their care partners, I'd say to never forget that you are a vital part of the team, and the Parkinson's Foundation has community resources available that support you as well.
And, of course, John, back to general treatment for Parkinson's, obviously keep moving, true?
Yeah, absolutely. Exercise is vital. It's funny because we used to tell people not to exercise because we were worried about them falling. Now we say exercise is critical to make sure you don't fall. So exercise in a safe way is really imperative.
Yes. What would you like to leave us with, Bob, when it comes to Parkinson's?
I would say that a great way to help other Parkinson's patients as well as yourself is to register for your city's Moving Day. Moving Day is a fundraising walk in a community event where you can honor loved ones living with Parkinson's while raising awareness about Parkinson's disease. And it's a great way for people with Parkinson's to experience for themselves the many benefits of exercise, which is proven to help with symptoms.
Great. All right. I end with you, John Lehrer, regarding the obviously ways to find out more about Parkinson's Foundation, please.
Yeah. So go to our website, parkinson.org, or call our helpline, 800-4-PD-INFO, I-N-F-O.
Gentlemen, thanks for spreading the word. Parkinson's Awareness Month, as I often say, should be every month, but let's put the spotlight on it now. Parkinson's Foundation President and CEO John Lehrer, joined by you, Robert, we'll call you Bob Beatty. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Grand Explorers Trail Race 2026. Let's mark our calendars for Saturday, June 20th. There's a preview race before that. Yes, we talk about racing, running, walking, skipping, and fun running a lot, but it is all about enjoying our wonderful trails. Let's head to Ottawa County. The Parks Foundation board strong with the leadership of my guests. Glad that you are here, Shelley Stevens. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you.
Anita Yoder, you as well.
Good morning.
Wonderful. Shelley, remind us of the good work of the Ottawa County Parks Foundation, you both serving on the board.
Right. Ottawa County Parks are for everyone, and we believe essential for the health and wellness of our community. We believe that we have a park to suit most everyone in Ottawa County, and I deeply appreciate what our parks and natural areas add to our quality of place in West Michigan. So if you enjoy walking, hiking, biking, running, swimming, fishing, kayaking, or just relaxing in nature, chances are good you've enjoyed time in an Ottawa County park. There are more than 40 parks and natural spaces and greenways now, totaling more than 6,500 acres. The Ottawa County Parks Foundation was formed in 2016 and is celebrating its 10th anniversary this year. The Parks Foundation works with the Ottawa County Parks Commission to fulfill the vision for a high-quality system of parks and open space lands, programs and services for residents and visitors alike.
And visitors to gather come June 20th.
Absolutely.
Nita, your side of the story, and this is year number four.
Year number four, yes. We're excited to invite everyone to the fourth annual Grand Explorers Trail Race, happening on Saturday, June 20th at Grand River County Park in Jenison. This is a really unique event because you actually get to run through two beautiful Ottawa County parks in one race, Grand River Park and Grand Ravines Park. So we like to say hashtag two parks, one race. I also like to say you'll experience the Grand in every step.
Nice.
Because it's the you'll run along the Grand River. You have the Grand Ravines, a Grand Bridge, and, of course, Grand Views along the way. And there's something for everyone. This race has a 10K, a 5K, and a one-mile fun run for kids. So bring the whole family,
and
even
dog.
The dog. Yes, even the dog. You can run or walk with your dog. That's been pretty popular. And then the one-mile fun run is on a paved trail. So if you have kids, you know, young children, you can bring your stroller and go along with them. So. And I also want to note that we have a virtual option for the 10 and 5K. So if you want to support this event and Ottawa County Parks Foundation, you can still do that and sign up.
Do so, I get a medal at the end?
If you sign up early enough, yes, you can. Yes. Everybody gets, every participant will get a medal at the end. Yep. So what makes this course interesting, I think there's a mix of terrain. So this is kind of good for people who are trail runners, you know, first-time trail runners and are uncertain about it a little bit because parts of it are probably like 50 to 60% of it is paved trail. It's the Itama Explorers Trail. And then, so you'll start out on a paved trail and then you end on natural dirt trail. So you will have, you know, the grass and the roots and all of those challenges yes. that are part of trail running. Makes trail running kind of entertaining, right?
I've run trails where, I don't know if you'll do this, sometimes the race director spray paints.
Yes, we've talked about doing that this year. We haven't in the past.
I don't know if we will with the roots.
We're not going to do the roots.
I worry about that. Okay. Leave
but
the roots
you just
alone.
You'll have to...
Lift your head.
Yeah, this is trail running, so you're going to have to pay attention.
Lift your feet.
Lift your feet, yeah. I have to remind myself about that a lot.
Regularly.
Yeah. So, let's see. So, also, let's see. Natural challenges, yeah, on the trail. And if you're doing the 10K... we're throwing in Ottawa County's only suspension bridge. So you get to go over that. We'll have some steps and a couple hills at the end to really kind of test your legs. So we try and keep this, you know, fun and engaging, I guess, entertaining.
Well, and you can't beat the beauty.
And the beauty, yeah.
Lift your head so you can see the beauty.
That's right.
What about the training run on, what, May 16th?
So on May 16th, this is the second year we're going to do this. And this year, so that's at 8 o'clock at Grand River Park. So you don't have to register for that. You can just show up. We're also incorporating it with the Step It Up program that is hosted by Ottawa County Parks. That's an 8-week walking program that just, I think, started yesterday was the first time. So if you want to be part of the Step It Up program, you do need to register for that. But we will also have two of our sponsors there on May 16th, Gazelle Sports from Granville. They've been a great sponsor. And then also Hulse Jepson Physical Therapy. They will be there to give some tips on stretching and preparing for running and that kind of thing. So, yeah, so we will have people walking and running on May 16th also.
Everyone will be moving, and we know how that is good for us. Shelley Stevens, what else do you have to share?
Well, I would echo what Anita has said, that I love the combination of the two parks in this race, Grand River and Grand Ravines parks together, just the variety of terrain, the views, the wildflowers this time of year. There's likely bald eagle sightings, you know. It just really feels to me like those two parks combine to offer a lot of everything that makes our parks and natural spaces exceptional in this area.
And of course your entry fee proceeds go to the foundation to keep those trails strong and I imagine for the future, right?
Correct.
Absolutely.
Yes.
In shape. All right, so how does one sign up for your June 20th race?
You can go to GrandExplorersTrailRace.com, and there's a button there where you can hit to get to register. It's on a run sign-up site, but just go to GrandExplorersTrailRace.com.
And Shelley, how can I, in general, support the foundation?
You can go to OttawaCountyParksFoundation.org for a variety of ways to participate in various events, donate, volunteer. I would add to what Anita has shared about the race that we are also looking for volunteers to help manage the race. And
I just forget to ask because usually I'm running it.
I know. So one of the things I'm trying to do this year is wrangle volunteers. So I need to make that plug. If anyone would like to be involved in that way, we'd love to hear from you. Again, reach out to the Parks Foundation and let us know.
Details one more time, please, for your Grand Explorers Trail Race, if you would, Anita Yoder.
Yes, Grand Explorers Trail Race, June 20th. The 1 mile fun run is at 8 a.m. and the 5 and 10K is at 8:30 a.m. I'd also like to mention that if you register, you need to register before May 30th to guarantee a shirt. And to also throw in that we are still looking for sponsors. So if you would like your logo or name on our shirt, you have until May 21st. Or if you want a yard sign, you have until June 4th. We have awards for all our first three and all the age groups. And our awards are pretty unique because they get donated by artists and businesses. And you get to choose.
We also have dog awards.
Okay. And we also have very cute ceramic dog awards.
Yes. That's sold.
For sure. For all the
it
dog
is all
lovers.
About the swag. The bottom line, you're supporting, of course, we're supporting your Ottawa County Parks Foundation. Thank you, Anita and Shelley. See you June the 20th.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now is the time for a spot at a pretty cool day for women and more. Let's get the news out. I'll see where we're going with this because you, Amy Muller, are all about, the Women's Sports Expo, which won't happen until February, but I'm glad you're here now.
You've yes, got thank cool you so things. Much.
And Sarah Scott, appreciate you. Phoenix Training, are you all trained up?
We're all trained up. Thanks for having
and
me.
You want others trained up. Amy Muller, what's happening? You are offering a pretty cool opportunity for some young gals out there.
Absolutely. We're really excited to partner with Phoenix Training on this. It's called The Foundation. It's targeted at high school and middle school girls that are in sports or maybe not in sports. And we really wanted to create this opportunity for these girls to learn how to move, to work out, to lift weights. And Sarah has just been such an amazing partner, and we're really excited about this.
Yes. All right, Sarah, then talk, if you would. Phoenix Training, tell me about your world.
So Phoenix Training has been open for about 5 years. It's a personal training and small group fitness studio. I focus a lot on lifting weights and teaching women how to move their bodies really functionally. That was never something that I kind of grew up with. I came into fitness early or later in life. And so when I kind of found that and really learned to love my body through that, I knew I had to share it with people. And that's sort of my deal.
Very cool. Where are you located?
North end of Grand Rapids.
Mm-hmm. Why the word Phoenix?
Phoenix is the bird of rebirth, right? We're always rebuilding and coming out of the ashes.
Every day is a new day.
It is.
It's called The Foundation. Expand on this because, again, you have another hat of your executive director of the Women's Sports and Health Expo. Tell me more about The Foundation.
So The Foundation was built kind of on the idea that no matter what it is that we do, we need to have a strong foundation when it comes to health and wellness. And I was lucky enough to learn how to move my body at a young age, given I played sports. But those that aren't in sports or have different extracurriculars, they may not know how to move their bodies in a healthy way. And we know that no matter what our gifts are, whether it be the arts, STEM, anything, you need to learn how to move your body because that's the foundation of a healthy lifestyle.
Yes, or at least in my world, stand up straight, Shelley.
There we exactly.
are. That's been with me since middle school. Tell me then about what's happening as you're pulling women together, girls together for this sports camp.
Yeah, so right now what we're doing, we are actively accepting people to come in. It's a small ratio of girls. It's about 1 to 8, I believe, Sarah.
Yep.
So 1 to 8 girls and to trainers. And they're just going to come. We have a middle school session and then a high school session.
Yep, one time a week.
One time a week. It starts on June 10th. And we're accepting some registrations right now. And these girls will just come into such a accepting environment where there's no judgment. We really just kind of want
to meet these girls where they're at and help them build that foundation for a long life of like healthy movement.
Yes. What do you ask girls to wear? Let's get into the big details.
Yeah. Whatever they're comfortable wearing, obviously something that they can move around in. It's not just about learning and lifting weights. It's going to be about having fun too. So they have to be comfortable for sure.
So a couple different groups then. We've got middle school at one.
Yep. And high school at another.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And this is once a week from how long, from June 10th to in general?
Middle of July. So it's a 6-week program, once a week for an hour. And yeah, it's just about kind of fostering community among those girls that may not have a sports team to lean on, or maybe they do and it's off season, and just kind of getting out into the community, meeting new girls, learning movement, having fun. Yes. And that's what Sarah totally embodies.
Yes. So small group sessions, Sarah, girls learn movement. What kind of nutrition and self-care will be involved?
We'll be talking about it a little bit throughout the sessions, more about how to fuel your body rather than take food away. I feel like in today's culture, we're so hyper aware of like what we can't eat, what we shouldn't have, what we, you know, we want to be smaller and smaller. This is about how do we get enough nutrition in our bodies so that we feel good, we can perform well, we sleep better, we become better students, we become better athletes.
And how will the athletic side work? Will you introduce us to the best way to work my biceps and my deltoids? And
absolutely. More? So one of the things that I love to do is play with heavy weights, and we want to teach girls to do that very, very safely. So we'll be walking through very foundational movements as far as squats and deadlifts and bench press and all of that, but also teaching functional movements like how to get on and off the floor, mm-hmm. in an athletic fashion and things like that. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll throw some games in there. It's going to be great.
Amy, what's your stake in this? This is, again, all about what you do mm-hmm. prior to your February coming together yeah. with the Sports Health and Expo, yeah. the women's, yes.
So this is more about, we've always wanted to be a brand. We've always wanted to be a company that you don't see us just once a year, that we're in the community and that we're really digging our heels into the space that we live. And so this came out of just like a heart for those that may not know how to move their bodies and they want to feel good and they need the confidence. And we, you know, Sarah was the first person that we talked to about this from partnering. And it was amazing how much her personal story aligned with what we are trying to build for other girls. And it just was a way for us to stay in the community aside from just once a year you see us. So we're really excited.
And back just general for those, you know, those girls young at heart, we're talking more and more about how strength training is important as a lifelong practice. I mean, it's never too old to start, but starting with middle and high school, again, we didn't have that. We just said go
exactly.
Play volleyball, basketball, and track.
Exactly. Yep. And for those of us that weren't athletes in school, I didn't have any of those. So it just would have been so valuable for me to kind of know how to take care of myself at a younger age, right? How to feel confident when I'm trying new things and just the way to approach life in general is a great way to approach the gym. So hopefully I can kind of give some of that knowledge to those girls too.
And again, we want to be strong and be involved, but there is that confidence that will be mm-hmm. taken hopefully from these group meetings.
Sure hope so.
Yep, absolutely.
That's the goal.
Mm-hmm.
So how does one sign up again?
So you can visit our website, which is togetherwm.shop. So you can check it out there, or you can sign up through Sarah's website
yep.
to get more information.
Yep. I've got a link to their website as well. It's at trainatphoenix.com. And you can also always email us or shoot us an Instagram message, whatever.
Mm-hmm. So is at spelled out?
Yes.
Train at phoenix.
Yep.
.com. And then one more information about the foundation. Mm-hmm. This is an ongoing?
It is, yep. So this is just our first session that we're launching. We are really excited because we know that this is not the first and last, that this is going to be the first of many. And so we're really excited to just get this into the public so they know about it. And then we can just build community on top of that.
So excited.
Mm-hmm.
And one more time, you start June and you run through?
Mid-July.
Yep.
So all of our session dates are on the website as well. Pricing's on the website.
And times,
yep.
Mm-hmm. Right. Just do it, girls. Get out there and do it right, and you'll meet a new friend, and you might grow stronger inside and out.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you both, Amy Muller, and you, Sarah Scott, with this partnership located at Phoenix Training, beginning in June. Awesome, where the girls will be learning movement, nutrition, self-care, while building resilience, friendships, and a strong sense of community. That should be required.
Right.
Thanks, all. Your inspiration for the day, according to Mae Sarton, we have to dare to be ourselves, however frightening or strange that self may prove to be. Think on that. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Shelley Irwin. Have a great day.